Okay, a couple more verses. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. It's back behind Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Do you have it?
Amen. Amen.
Now listen to this. Now, may the peace, the Lord of peace himself. Who is it?
The Lord of
peace himself. Do you see that Jesus Christ is your peace? Oh, I'm sorry, verse 16. For crying out loud, I'm sorry about that. Second Thessalonians 3:16. Listen to this. Now may the Lord of peace himself. Do you see that Jesus Christ is peace himself?
Yes.
Jesus is the peace. That is why Romans 1 says that those who have been justified through Jesus Christ have peace with God. He's our peace. Yes. Look what he says. Give you peace at all times and in every way.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How would you all like to live in peace at all times in every way?
Amen.
It comes when you keep your mind focused on Jesus Christ. And you let him answer the prayer and do the miracle and do the exceedingly abundantly above all you can think and ask according to his power that's working in every one of you. When you allow that to happen, you will have peace at all times in every way because you have Jesus Christ living inside of you. You have his Holy Spirit right inside of you. Do you know that your feet are holding the container of peace? Peace, man. You know? That's real. You didn't know I was that cool, did ya? Yeah. Only Christians can really say that. They're the only ones that are truly walking around as containers of peace. Nobody else has peace. They think they do. They think they do when the stock market's up. They think they do when they're not fighting with their husband or wife. They think they do when their children are behaving. They think they do when their job's going well. That's false. That is Satan's counterfeit for what God really wants to offer.
Yes.
Right. Only people who get up in the morning and in their shoes are filled up containers of peace are truly people of peace. Yeah. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You're going to see this here again. I really want to drive this home because I'm going to tell you it's life-changing when you start living. When you start living knowing that peace is available and all you have to do is remember it comes from Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start verse 13. Now, if this is you, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
I haven't read it yet. But she wants to make sure she doesn't miss out this time. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
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 For he himself is our peace.
Oh.
How about that? Jesus Christ himself is our peace. And we are brought into relationship with him because of the blood of the cross. We all have that peace flowing through us all the time. And we don't want to stamp it down and get it out of the way and get in the way of the peace flowing through us.
Amen.
Yes. One more verse, Colossians 3. It's right behind Ephesians. Colossians 3. Now, what do we do with all this? Colossians chapter 3. What do we do with all this? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as member of one body, you were called to peace. Look, you were called to peace. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let Jesus Christ rule in your heart, and the peace of Christ is going to rule in your hearts. You know, there's been more than one time when I've made a decision that I didn't feel at peace about, and I wasn't letting the peace of God rule in my heart. You know, God will speak to us a lot of times just by us knowing that's not the thing we need to do. But then we will have peace about a lot of things that He wants us to do. You know, but we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow the peace of God to rule in our heart. Now, rule is a very important word. It doesn't say to dwell in our heart, which would be wonderful, because it can dwell side by side with my own desires and wishes. But it has to rule. It has to be the ruling authority. Jesus Christ has to be the ruling authority in my life in order for me to walk in peace all the time. That's the key. And if you feel that you want to do something and you know Scripture says you shouldn't do it, don't do it.
That's right.
Don't do it. You will be so thankful. You know, there's a song a while ago that said, thank God for unanswered prayers. Well, God doesn't unanswer prayers, but a lot of times we should thank God for when He said no.
That's right.
Because He was protecting us from making a horrible decision. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since you were called to peace. The reason you were called to peace is because Jesus Christ is our peace, and He is our Lord and Savior. Now, a lot of you are sitting there and you're saying, that sounds wonderful. Well, I'm going to tell you, you have peace all inside of you. You have peace all inside of you. And you can choose to allow that peace to operate in your life by what Isaiah 26 says, keeping your mind steadfast on Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And when you feel yourself getting anxious, you say, Jesus, I can feel this coming back to me, and I'm turning it over to You. And I just want You, I've done this more than once, I'm going to tell you, God is very faithful. You need to show me just something that I'm on the right path. And something will happen that day that will just show me, okay, I know this is going to work out just fine. You know, Rhonda and I were praying for Wayne to have a job. I said, Rhonda, I know this is just going to be the most wonderful thing. God is not going to line everything up for you to come to Dover like He has and forget to do that. That's the peace of God, just ruling and reigning in our hearts. How many times did I tell you that, Rhonda? Yes. You see, that's letting the peace of God rule and reign. And when you can get to that place, I'm going to tell you, people are going to say to you, nothing seems to bother you. And you're going to say, because I walk, I'm a container of peace.
Amen.
Yeah. I want you to, yes.
I have a problem. I have peace within myself for me and my situations and my problems. Mm. But I don't have peace with myself for my daughter, who I have who has that keeps me out of peace.
I understand that. How many times has your kids has Satan done tried to make your kids keep you out of peace?
Yes. I tried to make her negative things, I turn her around to positive things by quoting certain things in the Bible. She listens to me and then leaves her quickly, it seems like.
Okay. There's a reason this is called the armor of God in spiritual warfare. Because it is a battle. And do not leave here thinking Satan is not going to bring something into your life to bring you out of peace in the next 10 minutes after you leave here. Because he's going to say, you know what? I've got to show these women Jesus really isn't true and this really doesn't work. If it takes 10 minutes, that's great. Some of you might get it before you get out the door. But listen to me. We're going to keep right on fighting.
Amen.
We are going to keep right on quoting that scripture. We are going to keep right on saying, you know what? Satan, you think you have a hold of my daughter, but I'm here to tell you that all my children will be taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. Amen. I'm here to tell you, Satan, you think you have my daughter, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You think you have my daughter, Satan, but I'm believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to be saved in all of my household. You think you have my daughter, Satan, but I'm going to tell you every morning I get up and I cover her in the blood of Jesus Christ and you can't go near her. You can keep trying to get her, but I'm here to tell you she is one of God's children because that is what I am claiming based on the Word of God.
Amen.
And you don't give up. And you don't give up. And it may take, you know what?
Don't give up.
This is why it's called spiritual warfare. But God's given us every weapon that we need. And he has not left one weapon out of our arsenal that we would need in order to go to battle for anything in our life.
Yes, amen.
Yes. And you know, when you start doing that, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing the peace that will come over you. Anybody that knows my daughter is Satan uses my daughter to attack me more than anything else in the world.
That's just what I was trying to say. I didn't come out and say it. That's what I
was saying. Well, honey, I am there. There's a reason I know all those verses. Look, if any of you have had Satan attack you through your children, raise your hand. Now, I want you to turn around and look at these hands. Honey, you are not alone. But I'm here to tell you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have got the authority.
Right.
But if you've been coming here very long, you've heard more stories about my daughter than I care to admit. But I'm going to tell you that I go to fight. I won't quit fighting. And I'm telling you, do not quit fighting. Because God, you can't see what God's doing. Let me tell you what God's doing. God is hearing those prayers and he is looking to and fro to those people he can bless. That's what 2 Chronicles tells us. An amazing verse. He's just up there and he's looking around and he's saying, okay, there's Cindy and she is really praying for that child of hers. I am going to block Satan over here from doing something destructive for her. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. We won't know till we get to heaven how many things that God has protected our children from. And we will just bow before him and say, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You won't know until you get to heaven what God has done for your family, what God has done for your parents, what God has done for your brothers and sisters, what God has done for your you yourself. We will never know, but I'm going to tell you that he is looking to and fro. And when he sees people whose minds are focused on him, he is there. And the Bible also tells us in Psalm 91 and in Hebrews chapter 1 that the angels respond to the word of God. And when we start speaking the word of God, he says, okay, angel, you go there and you take care of that. Oh, yes. We've got the authority. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you start quoting those scriptures, and pretty soon you're praising the Lord, and all of a sudden you're just filled with peace. Mm-hmm. And that peace just comes right back because you have focused yourself right back on Jesus Christ. Yes. But please understand, Satan will use our children. Satan will use our families. Satan will use people in our lives that we are close to. Yes, that's his favorite weapon. For women, that's his favorite weapon. My first nonfiction book is going to be The Big Five. And it is a five ways that Satan tries to attack women. And one of those is our children.
Yes.
And I'm going to give all the weapons that you need to fight that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Cindy.
I think that just all boils down to, do you believe God's got it covered or not?
Right. Do you trust in God? I want you all to come back next week because our Bible study next week is going to be on faith, the shield of faith. And Cindy just kind of helped me give that introduction. And faith is one of your greatest weapons. I just believe God says he'll do what he'll do. If God said it, I believe it, and it's done. And we have to get to that place where you can tell me, and here's why, God cannot lie, okay? So I can stand here and I can say that it's sun shining, okay? And if God says that it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Because here's the thing. When God says I cannot lie, we think that that's based on facts. That's not based on facts. That's based on truth.
Right.
And the truth is, if God said it, he's going to make it happen, even if it looks impossible to us. Even if it looks impossible to us, God is going to make it happen because he cannot lie.
Amen.
That's next week, though. Go to Mark chapter 4.
Mark?
Yes. I'm going to read through this, and I just want to bring a couple of points out about this. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, did God say they're going to the other side? Did Jesus say they're going to the other side?
Yes.
Listen, did Jesus say they're going to the other side?
Yes.
If he tells you something in his word, I don't care what the circumstances look like, he's going to do it.
Amen.
Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up. Furious, people, furious. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, he should have said, "Look, I already told you we're going to the other side. You're getting anxious over nothing. If you believe my word, we're going to the other side. Amen. If God tells you he is going to do something, circumstances may not look like that at all. But you're going to the other side. Amen. You are going to the other side. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." Look, you may find yourself in the storms of life. You may feel like you are just being beaten. You may feel like you are ready to drown. I don't know what situation each one of you are in, but you may be in a situation where you think this storm is never, ever going to let up and you just cannot take any more. Jesus told you you're going to make it through. You don't have a thing to worry about. You focus on him. Get your eyes on him, and he will stand up and say, "Quiet, be still." Mm-hmm. I went with a friend of mine up to Wilmington, and we were going into court, and it was going to be quite a very difficult situation for many, many reasons. And it was interesting because we both knew we were in the midst of a horrible, horrible storm. But I'm going to tell you, all the way up there, we focused on Jesus Christ, and a supernatural peace just came over that situation. And everything ruled according to what we wanted, and then some. God did a 320 moment there, and exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask, according to his power working in us, because we were in perfect peace. Because we chose not to focus on the situation, but we said the Lord's Prayer. We talked about how great God was. We talked about the goodness of the Lord, and we just saw supernatural things happen. When you are in the storm, you start praising the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.